time. The silent herald of life and death. Success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes. The 11th hour.
Jerry Morton here.
Jerry, it's Angus. I want to see you, my boy. I want to see you soon. Come round now.
But, Angus, I've got work.
Forget the work, Jerry. This is more important.
But what's it about?
I can't talk over the telephone.
Look, Angus, I can't leave the shop yet.
Jerry,
anyway,
boy, I'm telling you to leave the shop and come round and see me. I'm at the usual place. Don't keep me waiting.
But, Angus... Angus! Angus! I replaced the receiver, and I cursed Angus McIntyre. But then I'd cursed him often in the past. I always obeyed him. He was that kind of fellow. He was everything I was not. Tall and handsome and debonair. A man on the way up. I shut the shop and climbed into my car and drove to the restaurant where I knew Angus would be waiting. I'd done this many times before. But this time, things would be different. Because this time it concerned death and a misunderstanding. I found him sitting in the same corner. He was wearing a white carnation in the buttonhole of his immaculate grey suit. He looked a wealthy young man about town. Only I knew that Angus McIntyre hadn't a penny in the world. He saw me and raised his hand in cheerful greeting.
Come right over, Jerry boy. Sit down. I've ordered coffee.
Look, Angus, I can't stay long. I've shut the shop and that's against orders. If old man Phipson arrives on the scene, there'll be the devil to pay.
Look, Jerry boy, if things go right for me, you won't need to worry about that shop. You come and be my personal assistant, my secretary. How'd you like that? Oh, there's a good idea. My secretary.
Your secretary?
My idea to be married. I'm marrying into one of the richest families in the city.
You're marrying into the... But, Angus, what about Mabel?
Oh, it's bad luck about Mabel. You know who the latest is? Marcel Chéron.
Marcel Chéron? You mean the daughter of old Chéron who owns all those racehorses and that quarry out Waldeck way?
The same, Marcel Chéron. What do you think of that, Derry boy? I've landed a nice, rich heiress this time.
You landed her? But, Angus, I didn't even know you knew her. Where in heaven's name did you meet up with Marcel Chéron? She moves in very high-class society.
Do you remember when I went on that trip to Switzerland?
Well, yes.
I stayed at that posh hotel. I borrowed a couple of £100. I called it an investment. I acted the young man about town. I'm a pretty good climber. So I got in with all parties, and the rest was pretty easy. We're going to get engaged.
Yes, but what about Mabel?
What about Mabel?
I thought you were engaged to her. I thought you planned to marry her.
Who said I was engaged to Mabel? I ask you.
Well, I thought it was taken for granted.
I don't like to be taken for granted. I'll never marry Mabel. Oh, she's a nice enough kid, but she's not for me, thank you. She's not in the same class as Marcel.
I see.
You've always been a great help to me, haven't you, Derry? Don't know what I would have done without you. I want you to talk to Mabel.
Me?
You're the one to handle her. If I mention this, she's going to fly off the handle. There's going to be trouble all round. You just smooth the path. Tell her I'm a bad lot. Tell her she's lucky to be shot at me. Tell her that...
Oh, no, I'm not.
Derry boy, this is an important phase of my life. If I marry Marcel Chéron, just think of what it's going to mean to us both. I would never forget an old pearl. Oh, come on, Derry. Just talk to Mabel. That's all I ask.
Resist Angus when he pleaded with me. It had been the same all my life. I knew I'd tell him I would do all I could. It was at 7 o'clock that night that I knocked on her apartment door.
Come in.
In my heart, I felt sorry for Mabel. She'd been decent to Angus in her fashion, and now she was going to be thrown aside because someone else had a rich father.
Oh, Jerry. I thought you might be Angus. Come in. Have a drink. I'm having a sherry. I'm going to turn this wireless off. Lovely music, though, isn't it? I love that tune. As a matter of fact, Angus and I are going dancing tonight. Just feel in the mood for dancing. You like this new dress of mine? Paid a lot of money for it. See, very latest fashion.
I looked at Mabel, and I looked at the chaos around her. She always lived surrounded by chaos. Then she stopped a moment, turned and looked at me very thoughtfully.
There's something the matter, Derry?
As a matter of fact, Mabel, Angus asked me to call.
Oh?
Yes. You see, Mabel...
Yes? Well, go on, tell me. If it's something bad, tell me quicker and get it over with.
Angus is... getting engaged. He asked me to explain. He said he was very sorry, Mabel, but, well, he's fallen for this girl, and that's all there is to it. Now, don't take on hard, Mabel. Try and understand his feelings and all that.
It's odd, but I knew this was coming, Dave. I just knew it. A girl can tell these things. She can tell if a bloke's cooling. And Angus has been cooling ever since that trip of his to Switzerland. Did he meet someone there?
Yes, Mabel.
Suppose she's an heiress or something.
As a matter of fact, I think she has got a great deal of money.
Well, who is she?
I don't know. He didn't tell me. He just said there was someone.
Oh. Well, I suppose I should be philosophical about this. I should say it doesn't matter. But the thing is, Derry, it does matter. It matters a lot to me. I don't like being thrown over. Not by anyone. And not for a girl with more money than me. That's the part that hurts. But he chose her because of money. He's not doing it to me, Derry.
Look, Mabel, try and be sensible about it. You know what Angus is like. When his mind's on something, well, there's no altering it, and he's determined to marry this girl.
And I'm determined that he won't. It's as simple as that.
But you can't stop him.
If Angus doesn't come to heel, if he doesn't marry me and keep his promise, I'm going to do some talking. I'm going to tell a lot of people a lot of things about Angus McIntyre. In the first place, it isn't his name. No, Derry, he's no more Angus McIntyre than I am. He's plain Alfie Smith, and he puts on the accent because he thinks it sounds good. And Angus is a fine, upstanding name, and McIntyre has got a respectable ring to it. That's the only reason why he uses those names. I'm sure that this girl he's keen on wouldn't like that sort of story, told her.
Now, look, Mabel, don't get difficult about this.
Well, do you expect me to take this? Just calmly? Do you, Derry? We've been together now for a long time, Angus and me. He's made all manner of promises to me, see? And I'm going to make sure that he keeps them.
She's acting difficult, is she, Derry boy?
I can't make any impression at all. She says you've made promises and you've got to keep to them.
I see.
Otherwise, she's going to talk. Mabel's the kind of girl who would talk if she sets her mind to it. She's not easy, Angus. It's a pity you ever chose her.
She's not going to talk, Derry. She's not going to ruin my plans. Oh, no. I'm not going to allow her to do that. Wouldn't be sensible now, would it? Look at all the money I spent on that mountaineering holiday. Just think of the clothes I've bought. Just think of the preparations I made, all the plans. Now everything's worked out my way, I'm not allowing a little slip of a girl like Mabel to ruin my future.
I don't see what you can do.
Well, I do.
What?
Simple. Mabel's got to die.
I stared at Angus aghast. He spoke the words so casually and calmly. For a moment, I thought, he can't be serious. He couldn't have a thought like that. Then he lit a cigarette, and he watched me speculatively with his brown eyes. Then he blew a perfect smoke ring.
You're shocked, Derry boy.
You can't mean it.
But I do. People die. Happens the whole time. But some folk die a little earlier than others. That's the only difference.
But for goodness sake, what about the police? Angus, you can't talk about murdering Mabel. You can't be serious.
Look, Derry, I've told you I've made my plans and no one is going to wreck them, but no one. I've told you I've invested a lot of money in this little do and I'm not wasting that money. If Mabel won't cooperate, Mabel has got to die. It's as simple as that.
You'd kill her?
Why not? Let's not be sentimental over this, Derry. I told you there's a lot of money involved. It's my future. And for that matter, it's your future, too. It vitally affects the two of us. And who stands in the way? Mabel. Now I ask you, let's be frank about this, Derry. What good is Mabel? She's untidy. She's no asset to humanity. Not her. She's more of a liability than anything. I could be quite humane about the way I did it. She'd never know. It'd be all over. That's that.
I couldn't believe my ears. Was this Angus talking? Angus, who I'd admired so much and felt so proud that he called me friend? Was this Angus? And with a shock of horror, I realized, yes. Yes, this is the same old Angus. The man who goes through with his plans regardless, no matter who he hurts in the process. And this is Angus, all right. But playing a different role now. The role of killer. The rest is a nightmare. And there, dominating, is the tall figure of Angus McIntyre, now laughing, now pleading, now planning, and finally his disembodied voice floating to me over the telephone, just when the early evening mist was rising gray and thick off the murky river.
Derry, come round.
Look, Angus, I've been thinking of everything, and you can cut me out. I'm not interested in your plans or your future or anything.
Derry, I want to see you urgently.
But Angus...
For the sake of friendship, Derry.
All right. The usual place?
No, not the usual place. Come round to my room. I'll be waiting for you there.
Well, Angus, what do you want? What's this all about?
Derry boy, I've done it. I've killed her.
What?
Yes. I know I've talked about wanting to do it. In my heart, I didn't. I thought I could never do it. And then, Derry, she came here and acted crazy. She said that she was going to marry me. She said she would never allow another woman to have me. She stood there like a maniac. She'd found out about Marcel. She said she was going to talk to Marcel's father.
What happened then?
I suddenly realized I'd done it. But the strange thing is, Derry, she didn't make a noise. She didn't make a sound. But there she was, lying on the floor, and she was dead. It was as simple as that.
For heaven's sake, Angus, are you sure you've killed her? She hasn't just fainted, has she?
She's there, under the blanket on the floor.
I remember walking across the floor and moving the blanket. Underneath was a huddled body, and even before I touched it, I knew that Mabel was dead.
We've got to be very clever about this, Derry. We can get away if we're clever, if we plan well. But the thing is, my mind is all sort of confused. I don't seem to be able to make any plans now. I suppose it's shock.
Let's tell the police.
Are you crazy? Tell the police? Me? Hang? Oh, no, there's nothing like that.
But Angus, what can we do?
I thought you'd be the one to help me.
Help you? But Angus, I can't get myself involved in murder.
What we could do is put her in the car and dump her under the bridge. That's a good place because of the tides. If we put her there, she wouldn't be found for a long time. It would give me a chance to get away.
But the police are going to suspect you for this.
I'm not the only man in Mabel's life. I know that for a fact. There were others, too. Could have been one of them. In any case, I'd work up a good alibi. We'll take her and dump her. And the bridge is the best place.
You can cut me out, Angus. I'm having no part in this.
But, sir, you're my friend.
I was your friend, Angus, but I want no part in murder.
All I ask is that you help me to get her to the car and come with me to the bridge. I can't do it alone. There's no one else I can ask. If we handle this thing properly, the police will never suspect. Come on, help me.
Once again, he talked me around. I want to forget what happened next. The lifting of the body, the carrying it down the fire escape stairs quietly. Then, at the bottom, just as we were approaching the car, we heard the footsteps.
There's someone coming, Derry. Go and see who it is.
But Angus, don't argue with me, you fool. Try and distract them from coming round this corner. I don't want them to see me. We don't want them to see this. Go on.
Almost in a dream, I walked on alone. And then I saw the old woman.
Evening.
Oh, good evening.
It is a nice evening, isn't it? It's a bit hot for this time of the year, though. You're a friend of number 58, aren't you?
That's right, yes.
You've walked down the fire escape steps.
Yes, yes, that's right. Tell me, have you seen a cat around here?
A cat?
Yes, that's right, a cat. It's a very valuable cat. Belongs to a friend of mine. I had it in a basket and it escaped. I'm looking for it.
No, I didn't see a cat.
It's one of those Burmese cats. You know, they're very valuable.
Burmese cat?
Do you mind coming over this way and helping me to look? I took her thin arm in mine and turned round. We started to look for the imaginary cat amongst the dustbins in the back of the building. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Angus slip away, dragging the bundle. I heard the slam of a car boot. Then he came towards us.
It's all right, Derry boy. The cat's been found.
Oh, well, that's a relief.
Where did you find it, young man?
It was in the garage. I just caught it and put it in the boot of my car.
Anyway, thank you very much for helping.
It was a pleasure. So I'm glad you found the little thing. Good night, young man.
Good night.
That was a close thing. You talked your way out of that very smartly. I was proud of you. Come on, boy. The body's in the boot. Let's get to the bridge as quick as we can.
Angus drove well and with no sign of panic. It wasn't long before the great shape of the bridge cut across the black night sky.
Now, what I suggest is... Wait a minute.
What's up?
They're widening the road at the bridge. They're working there now. Ah, so much for that. Ah, Derry boy, we've got to do some quick thinking and alter our plans. Hang on. I think I know just the place. There's a hotel down the coast near Fenwick. There's some cliffs there and the tides are pretty strong. We'll push her over. It'll be days, maybe weeks before she's found. It's a pretty lonely spot and apart from the hotel, there are no other houses.
Angus accelerated and turned the car towards the coast. He drove fast. In my heart, I could still admire his coolness. For my part, my mind was becoming numbed with the horror of our situation. What if we could never dispose of the body? What if the police found us and her? I'd be involved in the murder. An hour later, Angus drew up beside a hotel which seemed perched like a lonely eagle's nest on the top of a cliff.
Well, this is it. Ideal, you see. You couldn't get a better place.
But there are people here, Angus.
Oh, they don't matter. They're in the dining room.
But you can't take her out of the boot. Someone will see.
I don't plan to take anything out of the boot. Not yet a while. It's too early in the evening. Wait until about 1 or 2 in the morning. These people would have gone by then. There won't be a living soul about. They can just take our time. Let's park here and go in and have a drink. I think we both need one.
I remember Angus parking the car. I remember vaguely opening the car door and walking towards the tiny bar and ordering something. I don't even know what it was. I stood without talking, trying to sort out my tangled thoughts. Angus was perfectly at ease and calm beside me. Then I saw twin headlights stabbing the darkness. A car approached along the road and drew up. A figure got out. A figure which suddenly became illuminated in the lights. The figure of a tall policeman. I felt fear clutch at me. Why were the police here? He walked along towards the cars that were parked. He walked slowly, thoughtfully, as if he was looking for something. Then he saw our car. He stopped beside it, took out his notebook, and seemed to write something down. Then he walked around the car very slowly and very thoughtfully. He paused at the boot. Then, standing back, with his arms folded, he waited. I didn't speak to Angus. I found speech impossible, but I pointed. His eyes widened a moment, and they narrowed. I remember he paid for the drinks. Then he whispered,
"Come on, Derry boy. Let's get out of here."
But how did they get onto us?
I don't know. They're onto us for sure. See him standing there? The others are in the car. They've parked it over on that side. Come on, let's get out of here.
I followed him as he quickly walked away and made for the cliffs.
The best thing for us to do, Derry, is to climb down to the beach below and make our escape that way. It's no good for us to start walking along the road. It would attract too much attention. Headlights pick us up.
But I can't crawl down those cliffs.
You're coming with me. Now look, here's where we climb down. You see, it's a little path, nothing to worry about. Just take it easy, take it slowly, and don't panic. That's the big thing.
He stepped forward over the edge of the cliff, following an almost invisible path. The rest happened so quickly. His foot seemed to slip. The side of the cliff crumbled. I threw myself backwards, and as I did so, Angus turned a terrified face towards me. He gave a wild scream as he pitched down into the sands below. I tried to stare over the cliff, but could see nothing, and could only imagine the waves lapping and pulling at the broken body of Angus McIntyre. I turned and staggered towards the hotel. My breath was coming in sobs. I was shocked and horrified, and determined now to go to the police and tell them everything that happened. The constable was standing exactly where we'd left him. He was now leaning against our car. He seemed to be waiting for me.
Excuse me, sir. Is this your car?
He's fallen over the cliff, constable. There was an accident. The whole cliff just crumbled and he's at the bottom.
Now, what's this, sir?
Angus. He decided to make a bolt for it. He said we should crawl over the cliff face and go along the shore below. And I said I was scared of heights, you see. And I am, constable. I'm terrified of heights. And he went over and the cliff face crumbled and he fell.
Now, calm down a minute, sir.
He owns the car. He's the one that did it, constable. It's got nothing to do with me. It was Angus. You see, she's Angus's girl, and he was going to marry the other one.
Now, just a minute, sir. The gentleman that owns this car has fallen over the cliff?
Yes.
Have you been drinking? And what's your friend's name?
Angus McIntyre, but that isn't important.
Oh, it is important, sir. There's been enough complaints from this hotel about parking here. But can't you see what's written there? Look, no parking.
You mean that's why you're here? Because we parked the car here?
Yes, sir, that's right. Now then, let's get this story of yours straight. Now, you tell me the name of the gentleman who owns this car. I'm going to serve him with a ticket.
I stared at him. Then I remembered Angus lying way down there on that damp sand. Then I started to laugh. I started to laugh wildly and hysterically. The constable looked at me in alarm for a moment, but I laughed on. It seemed funny and tragic. And all so unnecessary.
Silent herald of life and death, success or failure, the unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.